All right, well, welcome. Here we are. First episode with video. Super excited about it. This is the Fighter Pilot Professor, and I am your host, Meta. Today is, we'll call it Season 2, Episode 1, first one with video. It's going to be amazing. Today we're going to be talking about the Houthis. Who the heck are the Houthis, and why are we bombing them? And then also we're going to be talking about a little bit of leading teams and flat organizations specifically. So super excited about that, and we'll dive right in. Okay, so today we're going to talk about the Houthis. So if you've been following the news, you know that recently the UK, the United States, and a couple of other allies attacked positions in Yemen. These are Houthi positions, and these Houthis positions have been used to fire upon ships in the Red Sea. So what is this all about? Where does this conflict come from? And how did we get to where we are now? So the short answer is, Yemen is a country on the southwest corner of the Arabian Peninsula, and it's got a long and sordid history of conflict and division. And in its most recent history, the government fell apart. So in the 90s, the government fell apart. And then into the 2000s, it's kind of fallen into civil war. And then in the 2010s, this led to a conflict between the Saudis and other Arab nations to attack the Houthis also in their coalition. And so the Houthis are essentially a tribe or a group of tribes in Yemen who are Shia Muslim in their faith, and they are largely supported by the Iranian government currently in their fight against both the other government forces in Yemen and the Saudi-led coalition that has traditionally been fighting them in the last 5 to 10 years. So what that has led to is the Houthis now control the sort of southwest portion of Yemen, including the capital of Sana'a, and most importantly, they control the sort of the western coast that faces out towards the Red Sea and several ports that are along that coast. And they the Houthis have used the Israeli Hamas war of the last few months as an excuse, if you will, to attack shipping in the Red Sea. Now, the Houthis have done this in the past. In fact, going back to some of my experiences in that region of the world, the Houthis attacked a few ships in the Red Sea and out in the off the southern coast with cruise missiles and drones and those kind of things. And all of these weapons are supplied to them by the Iranian government. So what's that led to is now, from an American's perspective, and again, we've gone to this like global world order discussion, but from an American's perspective and from the larger global economic perspective, the Houthis attack now threaten global commerce. You know, shipping companies are refusing to go through the straits there. It's called the straits into the Red Sea and use the Suez Canal. And now instead they're going all the way around the southern coast of Africa, around South Africa, which is adding somewhere around 2 weeks. So this is really putting a crimp on global shipping and frankly, threatening the global economy and the sort of global world order that we've talked about before as we know it. So as a result, the United States is elected to strike these targets in Yemen and hope to prevent the Houthis from attacking shipping in the Red Sea and in other areas in the region. So that's the short version of what's going on. Obviously, like a lot of things, it's complex. It goes all the way back to the roots of World War I and the British Empire imperial occupation of the Middle East. It's complicated as usual, but I hope that gives you a little more understanding of who the Houthis are and what they're up to in Yemen and why the United States has chosen to attack them. enjoy, and keep sending me your questions. All right, so talking a little bit about leading teams and specifically leading flat organizational teams. And what do I mean by that? Flat organizations are teams that are largely made up of peers or people that are pretty close to you in either age, experience, or position, if you will, right? So in a lot of organizations, especially if you're leading a cross-functional team, a team that spans across several areas of your organization, say finance, accounting and finance, marketing, operations, etc., or something along those lines, you may be leading a cross-functional team that is a lot of your peers. And in my experience, as a fighter pilot, I've actually led a lot of these peer flat teams, whether that's as a formation flight lead, leading other flights of fighters, or planning organizations, or things like that. I've led a lot of these flat teams. And in my opinion, leading flat teams is actually much more challenging than leading vertical organizations. So in a vertical organization, you know, the leaders at the top, they're there because they're older, they have more rank, they have more experience, et cetera, and those below them have less of all of those things. And so they're able to dictate down to the organization what's going to happen. With flat teams, that's not necessarily the case. For the most part, everybody's on a very similar playing field as far as experience, age, rank, and all of those things, right? So how do I engage in leading these teams that are much more challenging and where I may not even be the expert in one particular part of what this team is engaging in? So the Fighter Weapon School, the United States Air Force Fighter Weapon School, which is like the Air Force version of Top Gun, but way cooler, has this saying that they teach instructors that come out of there that's called humble, approachable, credible, right? And that's a way of sort of giving a mantra to how they're supposed to engage when they've graduated from this course, which is a very long, demanding course that makes them the elite of fighter instructor pilots in the Air Force. So they go back out into the rest of the Air Force, and then they become these elite instructors, and they're supposed to be leaders. And so this is the sort of mantra that they teach them as how do I engage with people when I go back, right? This humble, approachable, credible. So humble means I recognize that, you know, I may not know all the answers, and I'm open to your discussion. I recognize my limits, I recognize your limits, and I'm not arrogant enough to push me and my team beyond our limits if I do not have to. The second part is approachable, and those two things are closely related. In fact, all these three ideas are closely related, but those two things are closely related, that approachability. People will want to come to you or can come to you and tell you things, can bring questions and problems to you as the leader, knowing that you're going to accept their critique or accept their problem and help them work through that critique or problem, right? So if you're humble enough to take that critique and you're approachable enough to hear it, then those two things work together to help you build credibility, the last part, right, among your team, right? And now, obviously, credibility comes in a lot of different factors, and you earn credibility through your capabilities. Like, I am a capable fighter pilot, and so I have credibility in my community. But, you know, you may be a capable accountant or whatever it is in your community, and so you have credibility in that, right? You may also have credibility because you've been around in that organization for a long time. For example, you're the most experienced person there compared to the rest of the people on your team, so you bring some level of credibility. But you also develop credibility through being humble and approachable, right? So if I just shoot down every idea that is not my own idea, or I don't listen to any feedback, then I am not going to be a very credible leader. Additionally, I can build credibility by recognizing that I have limits and then using the other people on my team in order to help me build a successful high-performing team, right? So even though I may be in charge of it, I recognize that, man, I don't know everything that's going on here. In fact, this other person may actually be the expert in that, and I'm going to harness that person's expertise, and I am humble enough, approachable enough to use that person, and that builds credibility for me as a leader, right? So that's my approach, one approach to leading flat teams. And like I said, it's a challenge to be sure, but if you use that humble, approachable, credible mantra, I think you can be successful in leading flat teams. Good luck. Thanks for the question, and keep shooting them my way. All right. So there we go. First video episode. I'm super excited about it. Got some ideas for what's going to come next. So keep shooting me your thoughts. Keep shooting me your questions. I'm excited to be able to go face to face, as it were. And hopefully today you learned a little bit about the what's going on in Yemen and how to lead those challenging flat teams. Have a good one. We'll talk to you soon.